This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
I'm going to tell you a story about kind of giving some context on the James Comey firing through Seinfeld. Let's talk Seinfeld and how that relates. All right, so I'm already losing some of you, I'm sure. But a lot of folks watched Seinfeld back in the 90s, still watch the repeats today, 20 years later. Okay, so Seinfeld, James Comey, Donald Trump. How does it all work? Here's how I remember one of the more, well, there were lots of great stories on Seinfeld. Okay, so do you remember when Elaine was the president of J. Peterman Catalog? Okay. You know, J. Peterman was out in the jungles of Africa, half loony, and he left control of the company to Elaine. Okay, so Elaine lets the power go to her head, and among other silly decisions she makes as the head of the J. Peterman Catalog, she lets George Costanza, partner in crime, purchase a really expensive sable hat. I mean, it was like a $10,000 hat, right? And he devises a genius plan as he's attempting to date a woman. He leaves the very expensive hat at her apartment. The idea being that she'd have to call him and say, "Come pick up your hat." He'd have another chance to woo her, and that would work out. Okay, so problem being, the woman doesn't know what happened to the hat. I don't think we ever find out what happened to the hat. And this expensive hat's gone. And the auditor says, "Hey, I got to see this hat." J. Peterman's auditor wants to see the hat. So, you know, George being George, he screws it up. They end up trying to fake it with a rat hat that they buy from one of Kramer's friends. And the auditor is none too impressed with the rat hat. Calls it a poorly made rat hat at that. So Elaine says, "Well, okay, here's what I'll do. Can I fire you?" she says to the auditor. And the auditor says, "No, you can't fire me." The investigation continues. She's relieved of her duties. She ends up working for Mr. Pitt, right? Buying him socks, among other things. So on Seinfeld, Elaine couldn't fire the person who was investigating her for this atrocity involving the very expensive hat. But in real life, the president can fire the FBI director investigating his campaign's alleged ties to Russia. Wow, what a world we live in, huh? You know, the rules of TV sitcoms are even more harsh than what we deal with in the real world. So that's the big news, obviously. And welcome to Street Knowledge. Street Knowledge bringing you some Seinfeld trivia into the equation. Boy, you don't get that on a lot of podcasts, right? The news yesterday that we're still trying to siphon through. Feels like to me siphon is a good word, considering what's going on. Late yesterday, news breaking that President Trump fired James Comey, FBI director, and citing for the reason why, get this, not the Russia investigation, because you do that and you look like you're admitting something. So you can't say, "Well, last week you asked for more money for the Russia investigation and we think you're getting close, so we need to do something about that." You might find out about the expensive hat, right? So they can't say that. So what they say in the letter is that, boy, his handling of the Hillary Clinton email investigation last year was just so inappropriate. The fact that he went around superiors to announce his decision to not prosecute but also criticize her, and then come back months later and reopen the investigation. October 28th, we all know that's what turned the polls in the wrong direction for Hillary Clinton's side, open up the door for a Donald Trump win. He didn't like all that. Of course, Donald Trump won the election because of that, and of course, in the days after the election, the days after his inauguration, everything until yesterday was positive between Mr. Trump and Mr. Comey. But 5:40 p.m. Eastern time on Tuesday, that positive relationship turned sour when Donald Trump had his longtime private bodyguard deliver a letter in a vanilla envelope Manila envelope, excuse me, not vanilla. Well, it was probably vanilla too. To let him know that he had been let go. Now, of course, James Comey wasn't in D.C. to receive this manila envelope. That was pretty well known by the person who sent and the person who delivered. He was Comey was actually in L.A. speaking to agents in the L.A. Bureau at that time. Saw the news that he'd been fired on TV. Thought it was a practical joke when he first saw it. And only learned a few minutes later that it was actually the truth. And the White House, tone deaf as can be, was not prepared for a firestorm. I don't doubt this. Reports have come. New York Times, Washington Post, CNN have all reported that the Trump administration thought that the response from Democrats and Republicans would be universally positive. Hey, Republicans, of course, would love getting rid of Comey. who knows? Maybe for reasons that it would end the Russia investigation or at least put a serious damper into it. Democrats would love it because in the Trump folks' minds, Comey was the guy responsible for Clinton losing the election last year. So, you know, they thought the Trump folks thought this would be received with open arms by everyone. The media would love it too. Gosh, you know, the media folks were coming down hard and have been on Comey for a long time. And so they weren't even prepared last night to defend this decision. They just thought, hey, we'll do this after 5 o'clock on a weekday. Won't have to really answer any questions. In fact, you know, the communications office sent word out to the media that, you know, they had no further statements on the matter. They didn't certainly have people ready to go out on TV to defend the decision. Didn't think they had a decision to defend. It was just out there, you know, it'd be over with. For hours then, relentlessly on TV, the TV networks, those not known as Fox, went crazy on this story for obvious reasons. It felt like the Saturday Night Massacre from the Nixon era. Which the only difference there was that wasn't the firing of an actual FBI head. It was just people in the Justice Department. But certainly in the Nixon library, trolling on Twitter, trolling the Trump administration, said even Nixon didn't fire an FBI director investigating him. That's a sick troll, by the way, when the Nixon people are trolling you. That's not a good sign. But yeah, the you know, the constitutional crisis that it seems like is engendered. It's readily apparent that that this has to do with the Russia investigation. And here's how it's readily apparent. The letter from Trump that he had hand-delivered by his private bodyguard to Comey, who wasn't there, references the Russia investigation in the letter. You know, if you're trying to cover something up, don't mention what you're trying to cover up in your official letter on official stationery. I mean, you know, it's PR for the folks in the Trump White House, but damn, they're tone deaf. You can't make up how stupid that is. You know, if we all know it's got to do with Russia, and it's okay. You know, it's okay. It is what it is. That, you know, that you're afraid that this. And honestly, Comey does seem a bit bumbling just this week, testifying to Congress, misspoke severely about the nature of the investigation into the email scandal. Had to be corrected by the FBI the next day. So, yeah, he's not – well, I was going to say he's not J. Edgar Hoover, but J. Edgar Hoover had his own skeletons in various closets. But at least Hoover projected a very stern commanding, I'm trying to think of other words that would describe Hoover, you know, competent. I mean, competent is you think in government competency is something that should just be a norm, but in this day and age, they build statues to people who are just competent. But, you know, Hoover had an image that his bureau, okay, yeah, it wasn't run, you know, there were lots of, there were, you know, enemy list type things, you know, he used the resources of the bureau for personal vendettas and that kind of thing. But still, you know, hey, it was a tight ship, and Comey certainly didn't seem to run something that resembled any kind of a tight ship. Okay, so that said, so the guy's not, you know, he's not above reproach, but you know, the fact that he is testifying before Congress, the fact that Sally Yates, the former acting attorney general, testified before Congress earlier this week as well, had a lot to say about the investigation into Russia. We've learned subsequent to the news late yesterday that Comey had been let go, that federal prosecutors have been subpoenaing witnesses related to the Russia investigation, and you know, it's getting ready to take another step, basically. And so then we find out after Comey's fired that last week he had asked for more resources to pursue the investigation into whatever happened between Russia and the Trump campaign last year. And admittedly, we don't know much. I talked last month with Senator Mark Warner, ranking Democrat on the Senate Intelligence Committee. He obviously can't talk much about intelligence, you know, classified stuff. But what he could talk about, generally speaking, was that, yeah, there's something there. We just don't know what it is. It's very early in the investigation. You know, more details may come out. But, you know, he certainly seemed to hint that there's more to this than even meets the eye. And there's a lot that meets the eye. So, why do you do this if you're President Trump, other than the obvious? It's not about competency. He blew kisses literally in the direction of Comey after the inauguration. He had a lot of praise for him after the election. Of course he did, because Comey's a key reason why Trump got elected. It was a narrow victory. He lost the popular vote by almost 3 points. He was losing by 8 to 10 points when Comey came out on October 28th and said that the investigation was reopened, even though it wasn't, because literally this treasure trove of emails that they thought they found on Anthony Weiner's laptop had nothing to do with anything. But, you know, the die was cast. Once he said the investigation was opened back up, that turned momentum back around in the Trump direction. And even when he came out a couple of days before the election and said, oh, okay, false alarm, nothing there. We're sorry. You know, there was not even smoke, much less fire. Damage was done. You know, Comey is a guy that, I mean, essentially, I read an article by a columnist who said, you know, you could boil down the firing letter yesterday from Trump to your efforts in October led to my election, and that's why I'm firing you. That's what happens here. It's an odd thing. Now, this is where I'll go, because you know all this. I mean, you've heard lots of people say this, and I guess if you're a hardcore Republican, you probably think it's fake news. And if you're a hardcore Republican, you're not listening at this stage 12 minutes into a podcast about this, because you've already since put my picture up on a dartboard and started throwing darts at it. Because I'm part of the fake news as far as you're concerned, so that's fine. But the rest of this has been discussed. You can read any website out there and hear what I've said for the last few minutes, except for the part about Seinfeld. I think that's unique. Hey, I'm trying, right? It's just an interesting quirk of our constitutional system. The ability of a president to fire the FBI director who's investigating. What heightens the issue there is, it's obvious that the FBI is part of the executive branch. Got to be part of something. You can't just have an independent FBI. We don't elect the head of the FBI. You know, it's not like the Federal Reserve, right? Gosh, all those conspiracy theorists who love the Federal Reserve, created by a constitutional amendment, and it has its own little set of powers, and I'm sure all that kind of stuff that the tinfoil hat people love to talk about with the Federal Reserve, just making monetary policy. But yeah, the FBI director's got to answer to somebody, and actually, the FBI director's not even cabinet level. It's part of the Department of Justice, answers to that, and then, you know, layers go up to eventually the president. What heightens, though, the importance of the FBI director now is, at least, you know, Comey and the way we appoint FBI directors in this day and age, you know, they're appointed for 10-year terms. Now, obviously, they can be fired. They can be removed from office by, various means. Certainly, they could, be brought up on criminal indictments themselves, or, that kind of thing. I mean, there's a few different ways to get a FBI director out. But the reason the appointment is for 10 years is to, 10 years obviously overlaps any one presidential term or even a potential two-term president, so that there is some degree of insulation from the political processes. That's where it was weird last year when Comey, let politics seep into the job when, twice in July and then October, talked about an investigation that really wasn't in the form of the Hillary Clinton email, quote-unquote, investigation. I got air quotes up here as I'm talking about that. So the 10 years, that's why that's there. No FBI director should be above reproach. They should be, subject to firing just like anyone else, right? But, this is the quirk of the system. When there's something before the FBI, the initial stand for Federal Bureau of Investigations, when there's something there that needs to be investigated by a bureau of something at the federal level, FBI is in charge. And if the FBI is part of, if the FBI investigation involves the president or someone close to the president, and the president feels heat, you can fire the FBI director for lots of reasons, and one of them could be that they're getting too close to something. So, and that's important now because the Senate and the House of Representatives, both in Congress, are controlled by Republicans who seem reluctant even today, which is very frustrating, even after this worse than Saturday night massacre during the Watergate scandal firing of the FBI director. Oh, yeah, you're hearing some milquetoast comments from Republicans saying, the timing doesn't look good, and, maybe we should look at this more. No, you shouldn't look at it more. You guys should be investigating. And not only should the Senate be investigating, let's take all partisanship out of this. And this is important to me. And Mark Warner and I talked about this last month when we met here in Augusta County. If you appoint an independent prosecutor – that will take politics out. And, we saw Sarah Huckabee talk today, deputy White House spokesperson stepping in for Sean Spicer, who's probably out in the woods somewhere right now. I know he's supposedly got some reserve duty, but last night huddling with his team in the bushes, literally not making this up, huddling in the bushes to discuss strategy when it became apparent that this wasn't going to go away. And not doing so very well. She said that, there's no there there that, this is going to, this needs to go away. Trump has tweeted the effect that, when is this taxpayer funded investigation ever going to go away? He could probably ask Hillary Clinton, could probably ask Bill Clinton about tens of millions of dollars being wasted on a taxpayer funded investigation that goes nowhere. Both were subjected to that by Republican led inquiries that were politically partisan motivated. I don't remember Trump being upset at the millions that were wasted there. Now he's talking about being upset about one involving him. Funny how that works out. But if there's no there there, if that's the truth, let's investigate it. And let's not have a partisan group in the Senate. Let's not have Democrats investigating it. And let's not have Republicans investigating it. Because if Republicans lead the investigation and they write a report that says nothing happens, you're going to still have people say, and I think rightly so at this stage, that, hey, it was politically tainted. We want to know an answer at some stage. The fact that this guy's doing this, and I say this guy referring to the president, and I don't say that loosely. Respect for the office, not respect right now for the man who's abusing the office. But if there's nothing there, let's have an independent prosecutor go through the facts and determine that for him or herself, with a team of investigators who have access to, I'm going to say something controversial here, tax returns. Yeah, tax returns. I think that needs to be opened up. There is something being hidden there. We all know something's being hidden there. And the louder the protestations get, the more you know is being hidden. Let's go through the tax returns, make them out there public, put them out there. If there's nothing hidden, fine. That's great. Then we'll know. Let's talk about Paul Manafort. Let's talk about all the people he's been working with. Let's talk about Michael Flynn. Let's talk about all the folks he's been in contact with. Let's talk about those 18 days that Michael Flynn, after Sally Yates recommended that the Trump administration get rid of him as a national security advisor because he'd been compromised by the Russians from an espionage standpoint. 18 days later, he's let go from his job. Why did it take 18 days? I mean, you let him go anyway. then complained afterwards that it was the fake media that made you let him go. You know? Elaine Benes didn't have the power to fire the auditor. Donald Trump has the power to turn off the spigot, and he did so yesterday. And now you're going to hear me prognosticate a bit. I'm not a betting man because, you know, the odds can never be too good for me to want to put money down. But I'll tell you what, if I was a betting man, I'd say that Teflon Don escapes this one too. Because unfortunately for us, this is a partisan issue. About 40% of the electorate, and when I use the word electorate, I should just say 40% of this country, thinks that the man does no wrong and that any criticism of him is unpatriotic criticism coming from people who don't love America. And they are inclined to disbelieve anything that anybody else says. And they will have the worse it gets, the steelier they get in their defense of that man. And unfortunately, well, I'll say that I don't think, honestly, that Trump himself, if you ask me what I think has happened here, I don't think Trump's smart enough, and I guess I'm demeaning him a bit when I say this, but I don't think he's smart enough to have engineered anything with the Russians to throw the election. I think that the guy's a CEO in name only for his companies that he's done over the years. He's a marketing guy. He's a guy who loves being on TV, loves hearing his name said, loves seeing his name on signs of buildings and on airplanes. And, you know, like anyone else, likes to win. And I wouldn't be surprised, and I think this is the case, that there are people around him who took advantage of his lack of attention to detail, which has probably been a factor for him for a number of years. That's why you file for bankruptcy as many times as he did. You don't file for bankruptcy 6+ times if you dot all your I's and cross all your T's. I think that there are, you know, people around him again who took advantage of his lack of attention to detail and unscrupulous. They were, they were complicit in working with, encouraging, etc. Efforts by outside powers to influence our campaign. And they will escape any sanction for that because the rules of our system are such that they can be manipulated, and they will be. That 40% of you out there who are not listening right now, because you've long since turned this podcast off, are going to make it possible that he gets reelected in 2020. Because the louder the drumbeat gets to get rid of the guy, the more the self-styled patriots are going to defend him. You hear my voice getting a little wistful because I don't know what kind of country we got even now, much less in 8 years, if this guy's allowed to run roughshod over our system, our ethics. If this first 100 days is any indication where we're going, it's about as ugly as Elaine Benes trying to dance at that party right before she got let go as the head of J. Peterman Catalog. So amuse yourself with Seinfeld. Amuse yourself with your favorite TV show. Try not to pay too close attention to the world outside you because it's only going to get worse, folks. It's only going to get worse. And on that note, it's Wednesday, and thinking ahead to the rest of the week here on Street Knowledge with Chris Graham, well, I'm hoping still that I'm trying to switch gears now and be positive to close. Send you home happy. You know, this is the wrestling writer in me now. I want to send the home, folks home happy. Still, we're looking towards that chance I'll still get to do an ESPN3 game this weekend in Greensboro. The forecast is for lots of rain on the East Coast this weekend. I got the Weather Channel on during the day in the office, and they're talking about this being a nor'easter. You know, nor'easters are what folks who live on the East Coast hear that term and say, nor'easter, it's May. Snow? No. You don't have to have snow with a nor'easter, but the conditions are very similar. You know, it's going to be a lot of rain, basically starting in the southeast, moving north. It will cool things down tremendously. It's basically the middle of May now. We're going to be in the 50s for a couple of days here in the Virginia part of the Mid-Atlantic. My game is in Greensboro. I think we might get rained out. I'm still hoping, you know, they're saying 70% chance of rain. That means 30% chance it won't rain, right? You know, okay, I'm trying to be positive. But, man, you know, the weekend in college baseball it might be a complete washout. Not just here, you know, not just in Greensboro. UVA baseball, top 10 in the country, number 8 in there's 4 different college baseball polls. Figure it out, folks. Let's just get one down. But their height is number 8 in that. They're supposed to host the University of Miami this weekend. Not sure that they'll get a game in. Maybe Sunday, but it's a 3-game series. They might get one game in, maybe 2. Maybe you can play 2 on Sunday. I don't know. But if I think our folks have told us if there's rain on Friday in Greensboro, we probably won't broadcast a game on Saturday. And, of course, there's a forecast for rain on Saturday, too, so that would throw that into the equation, too. Ah, so here's my chance to do another ESPN 3 game. I got 4 games next week. Weather looks good next week, so hopefully, you know, no issues then. Back doing VMI with JMU, a 1-game series, if you want to call it, on Tuesday. And then the VMI concludes its regular season with a 3-game set with East Tennessee State starting Thursday. So if things work out, I've got, what would that be, 5 games in 8 days. It's 4 games in 5 days, if not, because we'd start next Tuesday and go through most of next week talking baseball. Man, I'll be so baseball-centric that won't even be funny. also, some developments with Awesome Wrestling Entertainment I can quickly report to you about. Our next show already scheduled, October 14th at Waynesboro High School. That's a Saturday, of course. And, boy, good card. Already working together. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. Let me say that again. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat is going to be in Waynesboro for this big event. Also, Animal from the Road Warriors, Joe Laurinaitis. He's going to be there. He's already cut a video for us. We ran it on the Facebook page today. Looking forward to having Animal in the house. Also, Kendall Windham, brother of Barry Windham, son of Blackjack Mulligan, actually going to be at the show and wrestle. Rock and Roll Express, WWE Hall of Famers, the newest minted WWE Hall of Famers, going to be there at the show. Let's see what else. J.J. Dillon, the legendary manager of the Four Horsemen, is going to be at the show. There's even talk about some other guys coming in. Short Sleeve Samson's coming in. Famed little man wrestler. Love, real name's Dan. I love Dan Short Sleeve. Man, he is, haven't seen Dan in quite a while. Looking forward to seeing him out there. Hopefully soon, too. You know, hopefully sooner than October. I'm hoping Dan comes through, get a chance to reconnect with him as well. And boys, working some other names. So Boogie Woogie Man Jimmy Valiant is on the card. Let's see. I'm hopefully not forgetting anybody. I know we're working on a couple more guys. So I don't want to say who because, you know, if I say their name and we haven't signed them yet, then their price might go up because I've already started promoting them. But, yeah, we got a good show coming up and working on creative on that right now. I can't tell you a lot because, you know, creative changes over time. But we've had some interest from other venues wanting us to host shows next year. Had a meeting today with one that went well for that realm of things, so that's a positive. A lot going on with ESPN and AWE Pro Wrestling, and so yeah, leaving you on a high note here, hopefully. But I should sign off for now. Thank you for listening, and if you can't be good, then be good at it. Have a great day, everybody.